Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com and presented by Bet365. My name is Jason Logan. That guy there is Todd Furman. And for the next 10 minutes or 600 seconds or so, we're going to give you our best betting insights for NFL Week 16. We're going to talk Super Bowl contenders and what's on their wish list in order to win that Lombardi Trophy. We got to rattle off some bets for Thursday Night Football, as well as the two standalone games there. Saturday, 5 p.m. kickoff and an 8 p.m. kickoff. A couple great games. We have our favorite anytime touchdown bets. And then we're going to wrap it up, as we always do, rapid-fire bets in our two-minute drill. Todd, these final 3 weeks throw a lot at bookies. They throw a lot of bettors here beyond just the playoff races and motivation of teams that may be in or out. But we've got players and coaches that are considering where they're going to be next season. We've got incentives coming into play, which is always a very popular market, popular handicapping strategy. And then we have teams that will rest starters here in week 17 and week 18 with bigger fish to fry. So as a former odds maker, how did you navigate those tricky waters in the final weeks? And then now as a professional bettor, how do you leverage this information to your advantage?
Information is king. You're going to want to try and get ahead of some of these news stories before they break. Most notable example this weekend, the Miami Dolphins benching Tua. We see Quinn Ewers gets the nod at starting quarterback. But as you saw the rumblings early in the week, Tua goes out to 4.5. And it doesn't make sense to kind of chase the move, especially around key numbers. With teams that are out of the playoffs, J-Lo, they typically raise their level of play to play spoiler against divisional foes. Something to keep in mind there. And honestly, this time of year, you oftentimes have to plug your nose and be willing to bet some of the ugly ducklings. Although if you did that last weekend with some of the double-digit dogs, you were parted from that bankroll rather quickly and more often than not put out of your misery by halftime.
And we've this week looks pretty good right now. I mean, there's seven games that are within like 4-point spreads. We have a couple big ones, but some tight and some interesting games this week. And so let's not wait any longer. Let's go. 600 seconds on the clock for week 16. In a unique spot here, week 16. No team looks unbeatable, and we see that in the Super Bowl odds. We got seven teams between 4-1 and 10-1. Todd, it's gift-giving season. What are on the wish list of these contenders in order for them to take that next step and actually win the Super Bowl? I'm going to rattle off some of these top teams. Let me know what's on their wish list. What do they need? Let's start with the Buffalo Bills.
Bubble wrap and packing peanuts so they can keep their starting quarterback healthy for the holidays, because this team has no future if Josh Allen isn't 100%. We saw what he can do running and throwing. He's putting together a better season this year, J-Lo, that's flying under the radar than what he did last year with a more talented Bills roster. This whole team's postseason outlook starts and stops with their starting quarterback.
Yeah, he has absolutely put them on his shoulders in some of those games. Let's go Denver Broncos. What's on the Broncos wish list?
That every game starts in the fourth quarter, because when you look at this team's offensive production, 25th in EPA through the first three quarters, and that number catapults to fifth for whatever reason, whether it's Sean Payton playing his cards tight to the vest. They find another gear to get separation, especially at home, and that's scary for the rest of the AFC as Denver has the inside track to being the top overall seed in the road to Santa Clara.
Some good second half adjustments coming from him. Let's talk Philadelphia Eagles. A lot going on here, a lot on their wish list this year.
Yeah, combination of factors for them. A time machine, first and foremost, to bring Saquon Barkley back to his form of 2024, where he was the most prolific running back in the National Football League. He looks like a shell of himself. But it's not all on him. A lot of that has to do with the offensive line that has been reshuffled around. And J-Lo, everyone that's a fan of A Christmas Story knows that leg lamp that holds a special place in everyone's heart. I think Lane Johnson could use a bionic foot to make sure that he's out there. He is the key cog for everything this Eagles team needs to be in the offensive line and in the trenches. This is a team built on the line of scrimmage. If they're not healthy on either side, they have a limited ceiling going forward.
They're hoping to get Johnson back, maybe a Jalen Carter back, which is kind of his contemporary on that defensive line. Hoping to get those guys back this week. Let's talk Seattle with a big game on Thursday. What's on the Seattle Seahawks wish list?
You know, some people gravitate towards G.I. Joes. Younger kids now are looking for Paw Patrol around the holidays. But what Seattle needs is some of those Ghostbuster toys to make sure Sam Darnold sees players that are wearing the right color jersey, because if he continues to throw interceptions at an alarming rate, it doesn't matter how good this defense is, they're not going to be able to get out of the NFC. The ground game has really bottomed out, averaged less than 3 yards per carry against that vaunted Colts defense a week ago. So Sam Darnold, get some Ghostbuster toys. You need to have that X-ray vision and goggles to make sure you're throwing to JSN and Rashid Shaheed.
Charge up the proton packs. And finally, who this team plays on Thursday. This is going to be a big game. We got the LA Rams. What is on the wish list for the LA Rams?
Well, I'm sure they'd love a Snuggie or one of those nice weighted blankets that they could use in their secondary, because they've had a real problem trying to clamp down on opposing wide receivers. Look, they made tremendous adjustments last week, turning a deficit into a cover against the Detroit Lions, but the secondary is going to be the Achilles heel for this group, in my opinion. Yes, they played at a level higher than we anticipated coming into the year, but if I have to pick one weakness of this group, that's where I think they could be undone. The story about Emmanuel Forbes, yeah, it's great in theory, but look, it is coverage numbers from PFF, not exactly something to write home about. So this secondary needs to play at an elite level and get hot at the right time of the season if the Rams are going to give Matthew Stafford a second bite of the apple to win another Lombardi trophy.
Thursday Night Football is a big one. Rams and Seahawks. Todd, what do you like in this game?
Well, let's hope I can start this week better than the way I closed last week. J-Lo, it goes up, must come down. I'm going to look at the total here in the Seahawks and Rams, but the full game number has been beaten up a bit, so I'll go to the first half. Look for a 21 or a 21 and a half that are out there. I think these two defenses will dominate. We could have some gusty wins, no Devontae Adams. Look for points to be at a premium, much like we saw in that first meeting.
Yeah, playoff feel in this game for sure. I'm going to Sam Darnold over 4.5 rushing yards, minus 115. Sam Darnold, sneaky fast. We saw him rush for 24 yards against the Falcons. At halftime, they told him, run when you have the chance. And his coaches praised him after the game for his wheels. He had 11 yards rushing against the Rams in the first meeting. He's going to face a lot of pressure from this LA team that can get after the quarterback, especially if the starting left tackle for the Seahawks is out. That could spring Darnold from the pocket. Projections, 10, 12 yards. I like him to rush over 4.5 rushing yards on Thursday Night Football. Let's jump right into the Saturday games. We got Eagles and Commanders, not the game the schedule makers wanted at this point, but what do you like in this NFC East encounter?
I'm going to go to the prop market and look for Jalen Hurts to continue his passing prowess that has been absent more often than not this year, but had 3 touchdown passes a week ago against the Raiders' much maligned secondary, and I think he can replicate the feat here. So I'm going to go over 1.5 touchdown passes and right around a pick'em price tag. This is a Commander secondary that leaves a lot to be desired. I think Philadelphia has to attack deep the vertical passing game, get A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith involved, and allow Hurts to continue to build.
I like it. I bet that one actually already this week. And I'm going to just dovetail what you're saying. I'm going A.J. Brown over 63.5 yards receiving, minus 110. Brown stung the Commies in their 3 meetings there last year. 65, 95, 97 yards, couple touchdowns. He drew 8 or more targets against this man-centric Dan Quinn defense. Brown is the 4th best receiver versus man according to PFF, and he's put up some big numbers recently. I like him to come in here. Most models above 70 yards. They need some explosive plays to get going here and get on track at the end of the year, and I think Brown is the guy to do it. Let's go to Packers and Bears, another great game. What do you like in the NFC North matchup?
Fascinating game for all the right reasons this time of year, but I want to make a case for the Bears. J-Lo, you know me, I'm not going to give out the worst of the number here right around a pick'em, so I'll reverse engineer an angle that I think can pay dividends, and that's backing the Bears to go over their team total at 23.5. Yes, I don't expect Roma Dunze to be out there. I do think Luther Burden will ultimately be cleared and able to go dealing with that ankle injury. This is a Green Bay defense that's down Devontae Wyatt on IR, Micah Parsons lost for the year, and potentially Evan Williams in their secondary. It's the top defender at all 3 levels. Ben Johnson's offense will cook. Bears, team total over 23.5.
All right. I like DeAndre Swift over 12.5 rushing attempts. They had success running the ball against Green Bay. He had a big day against Cleveland the other day. 18 carries, bunch of yards, couple touchdowns. He's actually gone for 18 or more carries in 3 of the past 5 weeks. And Chicago has leaned into the run, especially over the last 3 games. 51% of snaps have been handoffs. I like him to go over 12.5 rushing attempts here against the Green Bay Packers. Time for some anytime touchdown bets. Odds provided by Bet365. I'll start us off. I'm going with Trevor Lawrence plus 450. Lawrence has a big prove-it game here in Denver against a defense that gets really stiff inside the red zone. And we've seen him have a lot more flexibility to run the ball with Liam Cohen's offense. He's had 6 rushing touchdowns, including one last week. He is the third QB in terms of red zone carries behind Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen, yet he doesn't get priced like it. I like him to say, screw it, I'm taking it myself, plus 450 to get in against the Broncos.
Can't argue that for a second. Now, J-Lo, I looked at two longer shots on the board for Monday Night Football, trying to figure out who for the Colts could find Pater, not named Jonathan Taylor. Looked at Amir Abdullah, looked at Tyler Warner. You know what? Decided I'm not going to back grandfather Philip Rivers here and expect anything good to come from that primetime spot. So I'm going to go to a showdown in the NFC South between the Panthers and Bucks and take Jalen Coker to find Pater for the third straight week. Look, teams are keying on Tetro McMillan, and they've taken his effectiveness out of this Carolina game plan. The targets are down. All the touchdowns have been there, hit or miss. Jalen Coker has been the beneficiary, getting targeted four times or more. They kind of use him as they de facto Swiss Army knife coming out of the backfield, working from the slot. I think Coker's price isn't short enough at plus 320. I'll take Jalen Coker to get in the end zone against this much maligned Bucks secondary.
Time for some two-minute drill. Rapid-fire bets here for Week 16. Odds provided by Bet365. Todd, I'm going to get us going. Going with Devin Achane, over 81.5 yards rushing, minus 110. It doesn't matter who's under QB here for the Dolphins. We know what they want to do. They want to give the ball to Achane. They weren't able to do that on Monday against Pittsburgh. The game got away from them. He only ran the ball 12 times, but he takes on the Cincinnati Bengals, which are near the bottom in pretty much every defensive metric out there, including second most runs of 20 yards or more allowed. Achane, over 81.5 yards rushing.
He'll have every opportunity to rip off an explosive or two to get you to that number. I'm going to look at your Dallas Cowboys, and I'm going to lay the short number here with Dallas at home, minus the two against the Chargers. This is the Chargers' second straight road game, an emotional win against the Kansas City Chiefs to eliminate their divisional rival from postseason contention. They also played the Monday night before, so a little bit of lackluster rest, and they have a short week before they take on the Houston Texans. Look, Dallas was terrible on Sunday Night Football, and I think that's why we're getting a little bit of a discounted price here under a field goal. This is a Cowboys offense that can test this Chargers pass defense, unlike what they've seen the last 2 weeks. Give me Dallas, minus the two.
Okay, it's your funeral, buddy. I'm going with another running back. I'm going Jahmyr Gibbs, over 71.5 rushing yards, minus 110. His rushing output over the last few weeks has been tempered a bit. There's been some shootouts where they've had to pass a lot more. They've run into some really good defenses. He's been able to do damage through the air, but in terms of running, just hasn't been there. But in terms of game script, in Week 16, the Lions, 7-point favorites over Pittsburgh on their short week and traveling. Game script says they run a lot. I think they go back to Gibbs. A lot of his metrics and his models right now saying over 80, 87 as a ceiling. I like him to have a big day.
Funeral part one with the Cowboys. Funeral part two backing the Tennessee Titans on the money line against the Kansas City Chiefs.
This never goes well.
The Chiefs haven't played a football game that hasn't meant anything other than the preseason in the last 11 years. Patrick Mahomes worth 8 points for me to the spread. That's impacted on this particular number. But there are a lot of other Chiefs that are banged up. Will their focus be there? Gardner Minshew, this, that, and the other. I think the Tennessee Titans have an excellent opportunity in front of them to build on the offensive performance we saw last week against the 49ers. High variance game. I don't want to take the points. I'll back them on the money line instead and hope to try and capitalize on Kansas City not being focused the final 3 weeks of the season.
Minshew magic be damned. Time to bet the Tennessee Titans. I wish I could get there with you, buddy.
Yeah, it's not going to end well. It's not going to end well.
All right. Well, the horn has sounded. That is it for the Week 16 episode of the Sharp 600. Big thanks to producer Chris behind the scenes. Thank you to Todd. A big thanks to Bet365 for all the odds. And thank you for giving us another 10 minutes of your time as we get you ready for NFL Week 16. Before we go, we like to ask... It's giving season, so give us a rating. Give us a review on the podcast platforms. Give us a like and subscribe if you're watching us on YouTube each week. We appreciate that. It helps us expand our reach, talk to more sports bettors just like yourself. Todd, as teams get eliminated and the playoff picture gets kind of cleared up, we can't help but start to think of the postseason. And I wanted to pick your brain here. What are some good tells, whether it's good or bad for teams, that we should keep an eye on here as the schedule wraps up when it comes to pegging potential playoff studs or playoff duds?
Health and continuity. I know it's going to sound like it's a little bit of low-hanging fruit that's out there, but most people want to focus on the fantasy playoffs that everyone's a part of right now. So they're looking at the skill positions, your quarterbacks, your running backs, your wide receivers. But look into the trenches. See which offensive line combinations have been healthy for longer stretches this season or which groups may be getting key pieces back. Hint, hint, the Minnesota Vikings have benefited immensely from getting their starting offensive line together over the last couple weeks, and it's paid dividends. The same thing that can be said on the defensive side as well. Headliners are great this time of year, but being able to win in inclement weather and hostile territory along the offensive and defensive line is typically what leads you to winning a championship, so be focused on that. Continuity is king, especially late in the season.
All right, keep your eyes peeled, folks, over the next 3 weeks, because those are what you are going to look for when you start thinking about who you want to take in the playoffs, whether it's futures or game-to-game bets. We will be back next Tuesday. We're going to do December 23rd, because Christmas Eve is a busy day in my house. I got to do all my wrapping, essentially, in one day.
glad you wait till the 23rd hour to try.
I got to do all my wrapping. I got in-laws coming over. They want chicken wings. I got to make chicken wings. I got to do all of that. So it's a busy day. So Tuesday, December 23rd, that'll be the week 17 episode. Until then, best of luck with your bets.